Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. We say hello to everybody out there on the final Saturday of October. The college football season really ramping up here. Halloween coming up on Tuesday. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Michael, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I just can't believe how fall is just flying by. I don't even understand how it's happening that quick, but it is. And, you know, we've got a summer day here on the East Coast, and they're going to get snow in Denver for the game against the Chiefs, which makes that even more interesting. And college football. I mean, Utah was rocking yesterday. I saw the Pat McAfee show, and today it's rocking with game day. It's impressive. I mean, not many people associate Utah with a great college football program, if you haven't been paying attention, but they are. And Whittingham does an incredible job. I loved it. I love watching it.
Yeah, it's one of the tougher places to play in the Pac-12. We will dive into that game here shortly, but let's set the table for what we have coming up over these next couple of hours. 15 minutes from now, our buddy Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and also co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, he'll join us to give out his college football plays. He has a play in the largest cocktail party over there in Jacksonville, the world's largest cocktail party, I should say, between Georgia and Florida. Tim has a bet on the side. Then 30 minutes from now, Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, former NFL Scout, will join us to kind of talk about some of these quarterbacks who are going to head into this upcoming draft class. And maybe we'll talk about some of the young QBs that we see at the NFL level right now as well with Jim Nagy in 30 minutes. Then at 11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific, Jordan Schultz, our buddy NFL insider over at Bleacher Report. Congratulations to Jordan now for signing up with Bleacher Report. There he will join us to break down the NFL trade deadline that comes up on Tuesday. So we'll get Jordan's thoughts on the trade deadline, see who the movers and the shakers, the buyers and sellers will be coming up in about 3 days. But Michael, let's talk about the game at Rice-Eccles Stadium coming up later on this afternoon. Oregon and Utah. I can't wait for it. A big stage game for my man Bodacious potentially there in Salt Lake City. And Oregon right now is a 6.5-point favorite over at DraftKings, total of 47. But when you just break down this game and how these two teams fit together, what jumps out to you?
Well, I mean, obviously the physical toughness of Utah, that's always the case when it, especially as it relates to the Pac-12, right? And so, or what was once called the Pac-12. I mean, I think that's one of the things that you just see immediately and you identify with them because they are so tough and they kind of find a way to, they're a little bit like the Steelers, and you know, they may not look great, but they find a way to win. And you know, this year they're doing the same things that they typically always do. They find ways to win games, and you know, they struggle to get against UCLA in a 14, you know, and won the game 14-7. Then they struggled against Oregon State, which is a really good team. So I would say with Cam Rising not playing, the offense isn't to the level we're used to seeing them play at. But I thought last week they dominated USC. I thought they were really the more physical team. And I think what Oregon's going to run into, and your Bodacious Knicks is going to run into, is a really, really good, a really good defense that ranks second in the conference, and it's 11th overall against some pretty, they've done this against some pretty good offenses.
Yeah, no, Utah is as physical as they come. They hit the hardest, and it's just, it's a tough, hard-nosed team with Kyle Whittingham. Like, they've taken on the identity of their head coach, and you see him, his fingerprints sprinkled all throughout the program, and that's where they've gotten to where they've gotten. And Utah has given Oregon a lot of problems traditionally, especially at Rice-Eccles. I remember a couple of years ago, they beat Oregon twice, once at Rice-Eccles, then another time in the Pac-12 title game. Like, there was another season where they were like had a chance to go ahead and go to the college football playoff. Oregon got them there. So these two teams have had excellent, excellent battles over the years. But get this, Michael, just to show people how big of a home field advantage Rice-Eccles is, when Utah is a home underdog, they are 16-8-2 against the spread in their last 26. They haven't been home dogs recently because they've been a really good program over the last handful of years. But whenever they are a home dog, it's usually a side that you want to back.
Yeah, and I mean, they need it, and this is a game where they're going to need to control the pace because Oregon's defense is really good, right? We know Oregon's a complete team. I mean, their defense is good, their offense is good, their lines are really good, and they can't get into a track meet. I mean, what, Oregon averages over 40 points a game? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not going to really be where Utah needs to play. They average 23 points a game. So, you know, they're going to have to slow the game down, and I think that's where Whittingham gains an advantage. I don't think he's one of these play callers or head coaches that are so about you know, I just want to get yards. He's about, how do I win this game? You know, and it shows up, and they're going to have to create some turnovers, because this is the best, Oregon is the best team in the nation in not turning the ball over.
Yep.
They're the second best team in the nation in not allowing sacks. So, you know, and they're the best run team in the nation. So those are things that line up, and I can understand why everybody's on Utah, but when you break down this game, you can understand why Oregon is under a touchdown, and it could easily win this game by two touchdowns if Utah makes one mistake.
Yeah, probably a good live betting game here, because like you said, Utah, they were in control of the game against USC, kind of let it slip through their fingers there, and then eventually won it at the end. Like, it should have probably didn't need to go down to the last second kick just from watching that game and how they were controlling it in the second half. But I guess it's college sports, things kind of get a little bit crazy. But I can't wait to see the battle in the trenches, though, because like you said, Oregon, they're not this finesse, because I think Oregon has a perception of being finesse because they have all the jersey combinations. They're like high flying and flashy and all that stuff. But Oregon's pretty tough in the trenches as well. Dan Lanning has tried to recruit this team to be like an SEC caliber team, landing coming over from Georgia. So we'll see a nice battle in the trenches later on this afternoon. We'll get more thoughts on this game throughout the show here, but I want to get to the game though in Lawrence, Kansas. This is a big game for you, for Kansas, taking on undefeated Oklahoma. The Sooners are 8.5-point favorites, now down to 7.5 over at DraftKings. We've been seeing a lot of money coming in on the Jayhawks here as a home dog, total 66.5. So we're expecting to see a lot of points as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the one thing about Kansas and Leopold, the way he coaches his team, I think it's really impressive. And he's another one, assuming that the quarterback's healthy and all those things are in place. I mean, he plays the right way to beat teams. And I think in this game, Oklahoma's going to have to play a hell of a lot better than they did against Central Florida last week.
100%.
And, you know, that they just can't turn this ball over. But I do think what I like about Oklahoma is I think Oklahoma is a really good adjustment team. I think they do a great job in terms of being able to figure out what's going on in the game and then making the adjustments in the game. But look, let's face it. The last 2 weeks, they've been in nail biters. They beat Texas by 4, and they barely beat with a 17.5-point favorites against Central Florida. Gabriel's going to have to play one of his better games, but I think ultimately everything comes down to Venable's defense and how he handles Kansas.
Yeah, no, Oklahoma's a team that I feel like nationally we haven't talked about them much, because other than the Red River shootout or the Red River rivalry, excuse me, like they haven't really played marquee games. Now, this isn't like the most marquee game on paper, but it's an interesting game and potentially a tricky game for the Sooners here. It feels like we haven't really gotten a full grasp on what Oklahoma is. They beat Texas on a neutral, but do you think Oklahoma is national title good? Because right now they're in the mix for the college football playoff. Like, where are you at with the Sooners now that we're halfway through the season?
Well, I think this is the perfect game for them, right? Because they're playing against a team that's not a great defense. Let's face it. I mean, Leopold's a really good head coach, and he does a great job. But this defense isn't where it needs to be to go to the next level. And so I think Oklahoma, if they get in front early with the way they play defense, this will be a challenge. And I'm surprised the line has moved in the direction that it's moved into, because on paper, and I know we play the game on grass, mm-hmm. on paper, you know, I know it's a road game for Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is the far superior team here, especially defensively. They are going to make it hard for the Kansas offense. And I don't know if Kansas can make it hard for Dylan Gabriel and the Oklahoma offense. I think that's the problem. I think really when you look at it, it really favors Oklahoma offensively against a very poor defense that, you know, ranks 100th in the country in relative scoring defense.
Yeah, it's almost like the betting market is trying to say, like, hey, Oklahoma, prove it to us that you are this legitimately good team. And Oklahoma's been proving it, though, over the last 8 games. They've covered 7 of their last 8, so they've been outperforming expectations. This season, 6-1 ATS as well. So, like, hey, like, you can keep fading Oklahoma, but they keep winning these games and they keep covering these spreads. So I can't wait to see it later on this afternoon, or rather, actually, a couple hours from now, this being the big noon kickoff game over there in Kansas. Georgia last week was on a bye, Michael, but they did lose their all-world tight end, Brock Bowers. Now they will mm-hmm. continue forward without maybe the best player in the country outside of Marvin Harrison Jr. The Bulldogs, 14-point favorites against Florida in the world's largest cocktail party. This total is at 49.5. They play this one down in Jacksonville. It's one of the more heated rivalries in the SEC. What do you expect to see from Georgia in this offense without their number one player?
Well, I mean, they always have good players on Georgia, so you don't worry about, you know, when they lose a good player, they always have one behind them, you know, and look, let's face it, you know, South Carolina is not exactly a great defense, and Florida put 41 on them, barely won that game. I think this is a challenge. You know, I thought when Billy Napier went to Florida, they would be a better team offensively. They haven't quite got there yet. But really where the liability shows up is that they can't get control of the game with their defense. And even, you know, they give up 39 to South Carolina. You know, even the Vanderbilt game was a struggle to begin with. So, and then Kentucky dominated the game from start to finish. So, I mean, look, I think Georgia's by far the better team. I don't think, but the one thing about this game that I love about this game, all these kids play against the Georgia-Florida High School All-Star game is really like a pro, it's a precursor to the draft 3 years later, because all those kids typically play in the draft. And this game is a lot of these high school, they played against each other in high school, which makes it fun. But, I mean, Florida's going to have to protect the football, and they're going to have to really play perfectly to do it. And the big issue is, can they protect their quarterback? I mean, Georgia is going to be able to pressure them into mistakes because this team gives up so many sacks. I mean, they're ranked 103rd in the nation in sacks. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this game as well. This is one like my favorite rivalries in college sports here. Lopsided a little bit on paper, but we know rivalry games can be a little bit more competitive than what is suggested on paper there. And I like the point that you make about this is kind of like the high school all-star game when these guys were all seniors. Now they just play it wearing their respective schools' uniforms there because there's a lot of talent down there. I'm sure there'll be a lot of NFL eyeballs on this game as well. Speaking of NFL eyeballs, Jim Nagy will be joining us here in 30 minutes. But on the other side, Tim Murray, VSiN host of VSiN Primetime, also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He has a play on Georgia and Florida. He also has a play on the Duke-Louisville game as well. We will get to all of that and more when we come back here. Just getting warmed up on the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Boy, the Sports Equinox is really getting us going crazy. I was watching NBA last night. I was flipping back and forth between the World Series, you know, walk-off and extra innings in the World Series game one. It's a hell of a time to be alive. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. And joining us now, as he usually does in his Saturday time slot here on the Lombardi Line, is our buddy Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern, and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Make sure you get that wherever you get your podcast. Tim, good morning. Hope all is well with you. We are already to week number 10 in college football. Week 9, I should say, in college week football. Nine. It's pretty wild. But let's start off with the largest cocktail party down there in Jacksonville. Florida taking on Georgia. The number one Bulldogs are 14.5 point favorites. Some 14s in the market as well. Where are you sitting here with this game? One of the better games of the day.
Yeah, I took a little bit on Florida here, plus the 14.5. And, you know, I'm very curious to see this Georgia team. And you know, look, they have recruited at an elite level for many, many years. Oscar Delp is their backup tight end, who was, I think, the best recruit or best tight end in the country just a couple years ago. So you never have to worry about talent. But they will be missing Brock Bowers. And he has really proved to be, guys, just an elite tight end. And he won, you know, the Mackey Award last year. He's got to be a first round pick this year. You think back to the Auburn game where he kind of took it over late in that game. And then on the other side of the coin here, you've got Florida. Both these teams coming off a bye, there's no real rest advantage. But Florida has been, for the most part, pretty competitive this year. And, you know, we know this is a rivalry spot, one of the biggest spreads we've seen in this rivalry in quite some time. So this was, you know, take the points of Florida. Hopefully they can get some sustained run game going. I saw a pretty interesting little nugget courtesy of our friend Chris Felica, the Bear, where, and a lot of this has to do with Georgia, but the number one team in the country the last 2 years, guys, when playing unranked teams, 2-11-1 ATS. Now, that wasn't the reason I bet Florida, but when I see those tweets from the Bear, I'm like, oh, okay. Sometimes it makes me feel better. Sometimes it makes me feel worse. This one and maybe feel a little bit better. So let's keep it close down there. Chomp, chomp. And hopefully the Gators can be competitive.
All right, let's talk about a game. You know, you like Arizona State today, getting the six against Washington State, who's kind of tumbled a little bit in recent weeks. And Arizona State seems to just play everybody tight, right?
Yeah. No, it's I was joking on the podcast and on the show last night, Michael. I'm like, is this the best 1-6 team in the college football? I think it might be. You know, you look at these teams, and Michael, you could speak to this much too than I can, but there are different. You know, as the season goes on, it's a long season, and you wonder how teams are going to continue to compete. And Kenny Dillingham certainly seems like, even though they haven't gotten a win yet in the conference, he's got this team really competing. And you look at, you know, last week, of course, late night against Washington, they lose 15-7 and had a chance to maybe win that game, if not for some missed field goals and a pick six late in that one. They're competitive with USC. They're competitive with Colorado. Colorado hits a game-winning field goal to beat them. So this is a team that really has covered a bunch. And, you know, Washington State, I'm not sure what's going on with the Cougars here. They've fallen a little bit, as you alluded to. They've dropped their last three. You know, it's starting back at that UCLA game last week. Cam Ward had, you know, did Cam Ward things, threw for over 400 yards, but they still lost by two touchdowns. So I really like the spot here for Arizona State. You know, I always talk about letdown spots, and I'm sure some people might think almost beating Washington and losing in the fashion that they did might be a little bit of a letdown, but I like the Sun Devils to keep it competitive and maybe win outright, you know, late night in Tempe. I just think this team is continuing to fight under Kenny Dillingham. So I'm going to back them as a dog here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, the Washington schools, whether it's Washington State or Washington, they always struggle down in Arizona. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the heat. I don't know. But like, it could be the greatest of their teams in this program history, and they'll go down there and struggle. We're speaking with Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, also the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim, let's get over to the game in the ACC. Ranked matchup between Duke and Louisville. Right now, the side, the Cardinals, 6-point favorites. But the total is where you're interested. It's sitting right now at 45.5. What do you like?
Yeah, it's continuing to drop, which always makes you happy when you have the under. And this is where I'm headed here. You know, I don't know what the health is of Riley Leonard. He probably shouldn't have played last week. We talked about that game. And Florida State, as that game wore on, was able to kind of wear down on a Duke team and get into the end zone. Duke is one of the slower teams in the country if you look at some of their pace numbers and just look at total number of plays. And I'm assuming it will be Riley Leonard. Giving it a go here in a very, very important game. And that's where, okay, we have Riley Leonard, who I believe in. I could trust in him running this offense much more than the backup, Henry Bellin. But I do think the pace is a little bit slower. You've got Louisville coming off a bye, and you know they're going to be raring to go in this spot with Jeff Brohm and his kind of MO being, you know, big game Jeff Brohm. But I trust Duke's defense. I trust Mike Elko. And we've seen him for the most part this year's guys, whether it be against Clemson, whether it be against Notre Dame, even, you know, when they didn't have Riley Leonard against NC State, they have been a very strong defensive team. So I think this is more of a slugfest. You're starting to see that number come down, and make sure you get it north of 45, 45 being a key number, 24-21, 28-17, et cetera. So I'm going under. I think this is a lower scoring game. It's interesting to note the market has backed Louisville quite a bit here, going from like 4 up to 6. So there might be some folks thinking that Riley Leonard's going to enter this game not 100% healthy, which certainly is a detriment to his game, knowing that he likes to utilize his legs as much as he does.
You know, Tennessee played a really good first half against Alabama. I don't know where they went in the second half. Milton's inconsistent. Their defense couldn't stop anybody. Big game against Kentucky today. You like the Wildcats here. It would take getting the 4 points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points here, and I just love the situational spot. In addition to, we can get into the X's and O's, obviously, but situationally, Tennessee, as you alluded to, Michael, they're up 20-17 against Alabama, and then they get outscored 27-0 in the second half. That's a rivalry game. You know, third Saturday of October, you know, you light the cigars, and Alabama able to win that rivalry after losing it last year. And then you look back a week prior to that. You know, Tennessee played Texas A&M, a pretty physical team. And then you've had Kentucky coming off a bye. Look, Kentucky's had back-to-back losses prior to the bye week. They got absolutely destroyed by Georgia, and then after that lost to Missouri pretty handily. So, you know, I think this is a situation where Mark Stoops can kind of bring the, you know, bring the team back together. You're looking at a night game situation down there in Lexington, which is always something that I like to back if I can, if I could back a night game. You know, Big Blue Nation, I think, is going to get a little bit healthier here. And Mark Stoops, you know, there are some great numbers there of him going up against ranked teams and the success that he's had against the spread. So I think this is a close game. I think Kentucky's able to run the ball a little bit here on Tennessee. And hopefully, you know, we haven't seen Devin Leary, the transfer from NC State, really thrive yet. Maybe a bye week, got some health a little bit. The offensive line, from my understanding, has gotten a little bit healthier as well. So we're going to back Big Blue Nation here as a home dog on a Saturday night in Lexington.
All right, we got a couple minutes left here, Tim. How come you're down on your Irish here today against Pitt? Yeah.
I just hate this. I hate Pittsburgh in this, you know, in this spot. I don't hate the city of Pittsburgh. Don't clip that. Pat Narduzzi is, I said it on the podcast, guys, like when you play Pat Narduzzi, it's like going to the dentist. They don't have a very talented team. Notre Dame's got Clemson next week. They're coming off a bye. To me, it just feels like it's got to be a little bit of a sleepy atmosphere in South Bend. I've seen this story a lot. So I'm just banking on the pass. Now, the last time they played Pittsburgh, they played them on the road during the COVID season, and they were able to win by, I think, 6 touchdowns. But Pat Narduzzi, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago when Louisville was playing Pittsburgh, and I said, this is a classic Nard dog spot, right? And it was an ugly game. They got turnovers, and Louisville kind of just gave it to them. I don't think we're going to see that ugly of a performance, but I just expect, coming off a bye week, Clemson next week, you know, USC was the previous game. You're feeling good about yourselves. Storm the field. To me, it's a sleepy atmosphere. Probably would lean under here, guys, too, because I can't trust Pitt's offense. So I would look under. I would look dog a little bit here. I think this is going to be an ugly game, like 24-9 type of game. So I think Notre Dame gets it done. It'll be like going to the dentist, and I think Pittsburgh comes out with a cover.
Real quick, do you have a Utah Oregon pick? Not,
I like
not
the under
holding
in this
you
one.
To it.
The under in this one, guys. I think it's a slugfest. I'll give you another stat from our friend the Bear. 29-1. That is the record of Utah their last 30 home games. Wow. And for some reason, I think Oregon's going to win, but I'm not going to lay the number. I will go under Oregon and Utah. So no points out there in Salt Lake. By the way, Kyle Whittingham. Looks pretty sharp on a Harley, Mike just said.
he's studly. He is Tim Murray. Also, check him out on the VSiN Primetime Show and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Thanks, Tim, and good luck with the bets.
Thanks, Tim.
All
appreciate
right, you.
All right. Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl, joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL Executive Michael Lombardi. Now, here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. And joining us now, always a treat when we have this guest on the program here to talk some draft prospects, because we all love the NFL draft and picking teams. This is the one and only Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl, joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Jim, we appreciate you taking the time out of your morning as always. And I saw recently you tweeted yesterday that after talking to some NFL front offices, that this draft is lush with quarterbacks, receivers, O-linemen, and D-linemen. That's what we love to hear. Those are the money positions in the NFL. But let's start with the quarterbacks here. When you break down Caleb Williams, Drake May, I know these are guys that are not going to be at the Senior Bowl, but how do you evaluate and kind of stack these QBs who will be draft eligible next spring?
Yeah, good morning, Fem and Mike. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, those two guys are the names you're going to hear. I don't think it's, you know, talking to teams, I don't think it's completely cut and dry that Caleb Williams is the presumptive number one guy. There's a lot of love out there for Drake May. I'll tell you that. And it's going to be interesting which juniors enter this thing. You know, there's obviously a lot going on in Ann Arbor right now. You know, what's that going to do to JJ McCarthy? I think there's some speculation in the NFL right now with Quinn Ewers at Texas, just because they've, you know, there's a succession plan in place there in Austin. And that probably is dependent upon if Quinn comes out this year or not. So there'll be some other juniors that maybe we're not talking about right now. I think Riley Leonard from Duke stays in. And then it's the deepest senior class that we've seen, at least in the last 5 or 6 years since I've been at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, well, Riley Leonard, if he comes out, I mean, you get him in the game. He's from Fairhope. I mean, we've all been to Fairhope before, you know. So, I mean, that would be an easy one for you to get. I want to ask you, what is a sleeper? What is a quarterback that you have your eye on that no one's talking about that you want to get in the game?
Well, I would say a couple, Mike. I'd say Michael Pratt at Tulane, just because he's a group of five player. I think he's not a sleeper in the NFL, that's for sure. He was in the spotlight a little bit last year when they knocked off USC in the Cotton Bowl. We had his running back last year at the game, Tajay Spears, who was our practice player of the week. So that's right down the road from us. We're a couple hours away from Tulane. So I've seen Michael play a lot. Really good player. Just has a great feel for the game, great leadership, really underrated arm, underrated athlete. So he's a cool player. I think most teams are kind of at that fringe, Mike, of like they know he's going to be a starter. But like, what level of starter is he going to be? He's not a guy that's seen as an NFL backup. I think most teams see him as a starter. And then I'd say Will Howard at Kansas State. And he's an interesting one right now because, you know, they've kind of went to a rotation at quarterback there at K-State the past couple of weeks, and it's went well. But for a guy that's in his senior year to kind of be rotating in now with a freshman, it's muddied the evaluation a little bit. People are wondering why that's happening. But Will Howard, you put on the tape, there's a lot to like. I mean, The guy led him to a Big 12 championship game win last year against TCU. And he's a big strapped up kid that can throw it. Kind of your classic pocket passer. So that's probably two names if we're going quote unquote sleepers.
We're speaking with Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl, former NFL scout as well. Well, how about some non-quarterbacks? Who are guys that people should be sort of keeping their eyes on for the rest of this college football season? And then once we get into the draft process, really kicking off January, February, March, April.
I'll just talk about two guys that have really probably vaulted up our board, moved up our board, if you will, this fall on the offensive side of the ball more than anyone. And I'll just stick at a couple of skill positions because that's what everyone likes to get an early leg up on their fantasy. One would be Marshawn Lloyd at USC, the running back. He's our top rated senior running back right now. And to start the year, he wasn't in the top 10. He's had a great year out there. He's a South Carolina transfer. He's made the most of his one opportunity, you know, here in this season with the Trojans. Really explosive, athletic, good when he gets in space. And then his former teammate at South Carolina, Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver, who, again, was who we had a free agent grade on him coming into the year. And now there's no way he's getting out of day two, just talking to guys around the league. So he's big, fast, strong. He's played on a bunch of special teams over his career. And he's been a good kick returner. But this year, I mean, whatever he is, he's 6'3", 227 pounds. He's going to run maybe in the 4.3s. And he's been an explosive playmaker for Spencer Rattler this year. So I would say those two guys. If you're in those fantasy leagues and you get in those leagues where you keep an eye on college players, Marshawn Lloyd and Xavier Leggett are two names you want to remember when we get to April.
Jim, you go. I know you go on the road. You watch all these games. You study all this tape. Who are your top four teams right now in college football?
Well, I think you started Georgia. I've seen them play a couple times this fall. They're not the Georgia team of the last couple of years. They're not the same dominant defense. You just can't lose that many first round players off your defense and maintain that year in and year out. I mean, we've even seen Alabama at times over the years take a little dip defensively, but I would still have them up top. Michigan is, you know, everyone gets on Michigan's schedule. They've been a hard eval this year, Mike, just because of that schedule. I mean, you get ECU and UNLV and Bowling Green. They've been difficult, but they've done what they need to do. They're taking care of business the way they need to take care of business, completely blowing people out week after week. I've seen Florida State play a couple times this year. They've got a ton of offensive firepower, and they've got four or five, you know, top four or five round guys on defense. You know, probably that fourth team, it'll be interesting. You know, I think Washington's a team, again, using the word firepower with what they have on offense with those three receivers. And Michael Penix, they're going to be a hard team to keep up with scoring-wise. So Those would probably be the four. I think the first three are pretty clear cut.
Let's get to some guys who were in last year's Senior Bowl in 2023 that are now at the NFL level, and chief among them, Puka Nacua, the Los Angeles Rams wide receiver, who is one of the favorites for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Did you guys expect this kind of outbreak performance from Puka Nacua so early on in his career? I know Cooper Kupp was injured early on in the season, so we had the opportunity, but I mean, this has been really impressive. Might have even blown you guys away as well, even though you saw him up close and personal.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't sit here and say that we expected this. There's no way I can sit here and say that. But I will say that, like, when you watched Puka last year at BYU, if you were writing a scouting report, the words that consistently came up were, like, crafty, savvy, instinctive. So as Mike can tell you, those guys usually transition pretty quickly. Like, if you've got a good feel for the game, regardless of what position, you can figure it out pretty quickly and get on the field. And then when they had that injury to Cooper Kupp, you know, that gave him kind of that opening. And talking to the guys in L.A. going back to the summer, he was clicking with Matt Stafford. And that's a really hard thing for a rookie receiver, is get on the same page with a veteran quarterback. And when I heard that was starting to happen out there in L.A., I knew he had a chance to get on the field and be productive, but not at, like, the record-setting pace that he's on right now. I mean, he's on a trajectory here to be the most productive rookie receiver we've ever seen. So it's been really fun to watch. Puka's a great kid.
You know, you're down there in Mobile and you watch Alabama every week. Is this one of Nick Saban's best coaching jobs as you see it in terms of where the team started to where it is right now?
Yeah, Mike. And you know, the fan base down here, they're not real patient. and they've went on an unprecedented run. Think about this, from Jalen Hurts to Tua to Mac Jones to Bryce Young. What other college program has cranked out four straight first round NFL starting quarterbacks back to back to back to back? It's crazy. So, you know, Jalen Milroe had his bump against Texas, but that's a good Texas football team. So they're figuring it out. Yes, to answer your question, I think this is one of Coach Saban's best jobs. And they're playing really well on defense. I think that's the one thing that's really getting them through the meat of this SEC season is they've got the pass rush going. They've got some young guys, Terry and Arnold in the secondary, that are making plays. So, yeah, this has been a great job by Coach Saban.
We got about a minute left here, Jim. Who do you think has been the best player so far this year in college football in the country?
Ooh, best player. Man, I saw Brock Bowers in what he did against Auburn a few weeks ago. He's hurt now, obviously, but I think he went for like 140 in the second half of the game I was at. It's hard for me to shake that from my memory. He's a different type of guy. I mean, everyone's kind of throwing him out there with Kyle Pitts and that, but this guy's different. I would have to go with the guys I've seen. I would say Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Brock Bowers is the best guy there. Injured right now, but I'm sure once it comes NFL time, we will be hearing his name called pretty early in next April's draft.
Real quick, Jim, who's your Heisman? Who's your Heisman winner?
Ooh, that's a really good one. You know who's not getting the love, Mike, who really should be, is Jaden Daniels at LSU.
No doubt. I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, what they're doing right now offensively, again, a lot of these guys are underclassmen, but their entire offensive line are draft picks. They've got Neighbors and Brian Thomas at wide receiver, both high-end draft picks. They've got Jason Taylor's kid at tight end. He's only a sophomore. He's going to be a high draft pick. What they're really missing is running back, Mike, and that's what LSU always has. But no, Jaden Daniels, he would be my front runner.
Awesome stuff. He is Jim Nagy, perfect. Executive director over at the Senior Bowl. We appreciate it as well. Be well, and we hope to talk to you soon, Jim. All right, we'll be back with more on the Lombardi Line after the break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. We thank Jim Nagy for joining us in the last segment, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl. Always interesting to get the perspective of guys who watch college football from a different vantage point there. He's obviously evaluating for Senior Bowl prospects and all that stuff. And he gave out a couple of guys that have risen up their draft boards there, their committee at the Senior Bowl. So interesting stuff from Jim Nagy. If you missed it, make sure you check it out in podcast form at the Lombardi Line, wherever you get your podcast. But Michael, let's get to the NFL news. Yeah. Notes from around the league, chief among them Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. Earlier this week, a little bit of a surprise to find out Brock Purdy is in the concussion protocol, but now as we've sort of progressed through the week, it feels like Purdy has a really good chance to play tomorrow afternoon as the 49ers host the Cincinnati Bengals. Matt Maioka, who covers the 49ers for NBC Bay Area, he said that Brock Purdy appears to be on pace, barring no setback. I believe today will be the last hurdle for Purdy to clear, to go ahead and clear concussion protocol, but this is a little bit surprising after we've seen a lot of guys miss the following week when they've been in the protocol.
Yeah, you know, and especially it's Monday. He gets a concussion on Monday. We don't know it. He finishes the game, and then Tuesday we find out he got concussed and then threw two interceptions afterwards. So, look, I you could see it in the line that he's going to play, right? The line was open at 6. It went to 5.5, and then it shot down to 3.5 with the Purdy concussion news. Now it's back to 5. And really, no, there's no money coming in on San Francisco. Pretty much Cincinnati has been the public bet all week long. Maybe some pros, I don't know, or people that do it for a living. But this is going to be an interesting game. I've liked San Francisco all week because for some reason, people have forgotten that the Bengals didn't play well against Seattle in their last game. It's 17, 14, 13. Seattle's got 5 red zone opportunities. They can't cash in on any of them. San Francisco is 2 plays away from being undefeated. I think the number's a little lower than it should be based on that circumstance. I think San Francisco is really good at home. And what I like about this game is San Francisco will run the ball. Last week against Minnesota, they got it behind in the game. They had 1 run of 17 yards by Purdy, but other than that, they had 21 carries for 48 yards. That's not Kyle Shanahan. He will get back to running the football in this game against a defense that allows 30th in the league in terms of yards per attempt rush. So I like it. I think Purdy plays. I think he'll play well. I worry about Trent Williams not playing. I worry about Deebo Samuel not playing. But I do think we have overvalued Cincinnati to the point where we just think they're going to turn it back on after the bye week. And I don't think they were really anywhere near where they need to be going into the bye.
I want to get to Cincinnati here as quickly, but I want to ask you, though, about the run game for the 49ers. How much of the inability to get the run game going has been the absence of Trent Williams, who it looks like he's going to miss Sunday's game?
I don't think when you look at Kyle's run game, it's not a power run game. We got to get to the second level. It's an outside zone. I think in that game, he kind of got away from it. There was a lot of run blitzes, but he got away from it because he got behind and, you know, there was easy to throw the ball. And look, that halftime score is really the play that keeps them from being undefeated when you look at it. I mean, it's not the right call to make at the right situation. And Steve Wilks took accountability for it, which he should. I think this, too, about this game in Cincinnati, if we want to go down that road. I mean, Joe Burrow's numbers, forget the injury, have not been anywhere near where they were last year. His bad throws are up to 16% of the throws. Last year, he was at 12. So they're going to have to do a lot to change that. Plus, this spread offense, they can't run the ball. If you can't run the ball in San Francisco or want to run the ball in San Francisco behind what I don't think is a very good offensive line of the Bengals, I think it's going to be problematic for Burrow.
You know, it feels like a lot of people are just sort of making the assumption that Cincinnati is just going to correct it. And I get it. We saw a lot of this last year where the Bengals were, 3-4, I believe it was. They just got drilled by Cleveland on Halloween night, and then they don't lose again until the AFC title game. Like, Burrow has earned enough stripes to where it's like, okay, like, you can see why, like, people buy into the Bengals pedigree. But, like, we also can't throw away the data from this season. And what you're saying, Michael, is that, like, the Bengals have performed like an average to below average football team. They're being rated like they're good, like in this market right now for this particular game. Like, it just feels like there's sort of an assumption being made because it's Burrow, post bye, they'll figure it out. The Bengals are who we thought they were. Where it's like, maybe they're just not. Maybe they're just not that good of a team this year.
Yeah, and that's kind of when I watch them. Their offensive line is not good. Seattle really kicks themselves in the butt for not winning that game.
Yeah.
right? And when you look at what they've done in terms of their offensive output, inability to make throws down the field, hold the ball. He can't hold the ball. Orlando Brown, I know they paid him a lot of money, but he's a liability in a pass protection scheme without a tight end over there. And Jonah Williams at right tackle is a problem. And San Francisco, which didn't get any sacks last week and didn't get any pressure on the quarterback, I think they're going to come after him. I think they'll play him really well. Now, Steve Wilks is the head coach of the Panthers. He went into Cincinnati last year and got torched. Mm-hmm. He got torched, you know, and it wasn't a game. They benched Baker Mayfield. I mean, they had PJ Walker. It was a disaster. They gave up 42 points in the game. I think that's a great learning experience for Wilks as he takes this defense and has to play against an offense that kicked his butt.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to see this game here. Burrow and the Bengals, we're going to learn more about them, but up until this point, it hasn't been good. I want to see them prove it at least. I would lean Niners. I don't have a bet in the game, but I would lean San Francisco for sure if I had to bet the game. Let's go to the Meadowlands. We get the Sinatra special on the gridiron. Yeah. Jets-Giants. How about that? The New York battle. The Jets are 3-point favorites on what is a neutral field, not a 3-point road favorite, a 3-point neutral favorite in this spot here. But the big news for the G-men, Daniel Jones, once again out, will miss a third consecutive start after being banged up in the game against the Miami Dolphins. And what was really interesting this week in the media is that Brian Daboll told reporters that he didn't want to confirm whether Jones would come back later this season. So we've gone from Daniel Jones missing a couple games with a neck injury to where, hey, we can't even confirm whether he's going to come back. What did you make of what Daboll had to say earlier this week?
I think he can't really predict it because it's a nerve injury, right? He's got nerve damage to his neck or whatever that is, right? And so you don't know when that's going to come around. I think it's really unpredictable. And so he doesn't, what can he say? And look, let's face it. I mean, with Tyrod Taylor, they're 16th in EPA, you know, in percentage of completion. They're second. They're 11th in average of depth per route. 11th, okay? Now, Daniel Jones, they're 33rd in EPA. Percentage of completion, they're 8th, which he's always good at that. And then 33rd in depth of route. So, like, they're actually a better offense. They get their offensive line back. Andrew Thomas could come back. The center comes back, who they drafted in the second round from Minnesota, Schmidt. So they get him back. And, you know, look, I know the Jets defense has got a, you know, they get Gardner and they get DJ Reed back, but this is a game that's going to be low scoring. One thing you see when you watch the Jets tape, they will be a little aggressive from the 20 to the 30, okay? But once they get the ball in the high red zone or even into the low red zone, they basically mandate, Zach Wilson's not going to beat us. We're just not going to let him beat us. And so they get a little bit conservative. And I think against a Martindale blitz defense, I think they'll have a little bit of trouble. This game is going to be very challenging for Wilson to protect the ball. I mean, he's got the lowest EPA play completion percentage of any quarterback in the National Football League. I mean, this guy hasn't played well. We're losing sight of it. For him to be a favorite is somewhat remarkable. Like, of all the quarterbacks to be a favorite, you can't imagine this, right? And so the Jets have been favored in 4 games with Zach Wilson under center. They're 2-2 straight up, you know, and the spread is anytime the spread as a favorite is 2.5 and more, he's lost. So, you know, like, I just don't see it. I think this is a game where it'll be low scoring. It'll be back and forth. We'll see a lot of punts like we did last week with Washington. And it's going to come down to what quarterback protects the ball better. I'll take Taylor in that situation.
Well, let's play this game. Let's assume the betting market is correct. Chalk prevails. The Jets win this game. Do you think the Jets can make the playoffs? Over at DraftKings, they're plus 310 to make the playoffs. You're saying absolutely no? You don't think they can make it?
No, because I think when they play against a good offense, they struggle. I mean, they got lucky against Philadelphia. I mean, what is Jalen Hurts doing throwing that ball there? Do you think they win that game?
Nope.
I mean, the luck meter for them is pretty good, right? So I think we're getting a little bit. Plus, here's what I would say to you. Coming off a bye, you think the Jets are mature enough as a team to handle this? Do you think their head coach is mature enough to handle this? Have you looked at Saleh's record coming off a bye? He's 0-4 against the spread on rest.
That's not
I mean, good. No, it's not good. You know, and so, you know, with extended rest, the Jets are 0-4 straight up and against the spread. I mean, they don't handle success in that building. And Zach Wilson is one of those players that little success and there's no pressure on him. He's happy. You think he worked hard this week? I doubt it. I mean, the week off, excuse me.
You're criticizing him for going back home with his girlfriend to Utah? He saw people in the New York radio saying that stuff. We'll get to the Lombardi look ahead on the other side to begin hour number two here on the DraftKings Network.